It's going to be a spectacular Saturday we have coming for you, including the Blackhawks and Flyers, 3 Eastern on ABC. We got Carolina Duke on ESPN. Steph and Clay and the Warriors taking on LeBron and the Lakers on ABC. We'll do countdown from the court that night. And the main card at UFC 272 in Vegas starts at 10 Eastern on ESPN Plus. Pay-per-view should be spectacular. In the meantime, before we start a new hour, how about this? This is Iowa playing at home against Northwestern last night, and right before the end of the game, they let the student manager try a shot, and it goes in. Look at the reaction, Canty. What do you think?
Well, he's no Caitlin Clark, but, I mean, that's a pretty damn good shot.
How do you like it, Bartholomew?
Say what, that's like the water boy. Sign him up to a contract, man.
Excited there, knocking it in. A great moment there for the Iowa student manager.
Did he win something?
Hitting
Did he win a
half court shot. Well, no, he's the student manager. So now, it wasn't one of those where they had, like, you know, tuition or anything like that on it.
He won the admiration of his of the rest of the team. You can see how much they
won. He won an atomic wedge.
It's just a nice
one. That's exactly what.
With that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We are live above the Heineken River Deck. We are at Pier 17. Look at the squad we've put together today. And that doesn't even show you yet Tim Legler, who's going to jump in a moment, coming off of the performance of the night, maybe the performance of the year. Rolling. The best show in sports was very much going last night. The Grizzlies, the Spurs, it's that man, Ja Morant. Pick it up in the second quarter. Bart, how do you describe this dunk on Jakob Poeltl?
Elevation! Oh, man, I tell you what, he's going to be smelling his chest hairs for a week.
That's not the way I was expecting it to be described. Chris Canty, how about it? How about the big fella getting dunked on there? But hold on a minute. So there's that spectacular play, and then there's this. Less than a second left in the half. Oh, my goodness, Canty.
Gee, that's how you know he's in his bag and he's at another level right now. People wouldn't even think to attempt to take a shot like that. This guy is playing NBA 2K, but in real life. That's unbelievable.
He had 29 at the half, including two of the most spectacular plays of the year. Meanwhile, he wasn't anywhere near done. 5 minutes to go in the fourth. It's a game. It's an 8-point game. Just count the defenders. Let's play a game of count the Spurs defenders that are around him and can't do a thing about it. 1, 2, 3, 4. John Morant to the hole. He's just ridiculous. At that point, he had 48. He's looking for the first 50-point game in Grizzlies history. And he's got it. Oh, and Canty, what happened there?
Right there, guys. You saw Jakob Poeltl get the hell out the way.
He got out the way.
You saw it.
51. 52 points for Ja Morant. And afterwards, he was overwhelmed.
I ain't gonna lie. I don't know if I can talk about that right now, man. My head all over the place.
You know, I felt like, you know, a little bit of pressure. It's like, man, you here now. You got to get it. And, well, as I got close, they told me to, you know, go ahead and go get it. So that's why y'all see every time they got the ball, they was looking for 12.
All right, so the Grizzlies had played 2,207 games in their history, playoffs and regular season, before having a 50-point score. As you see on your screen, that's the most any team has ever had before having a player hit the half-century mark, including the playoffs. Ja Morant is now responsible for 5 of the 7 highest-scoring games in Grizzlies history. And Legs, as I bring Tim Legler into the conversation, before we do anything else, I need you to settle this, because Bart and Canty are just fighting all day long, and one of the things they're fighting about is which of those two plays is more spectacular, the dunk over Poeltl or the shot that he hits at the end of the half?
I'm still going to go with the dunk over Poeltl. I know the body control.
But the dunk on Poeltl,
because here's why. To me, on that particular play, he didn't really look like he was in position to take off properly. You got a 7-footer. Now, Poeltl didn't give very much resistance. He got caught in no man's land. He didn't want to foul him too hard and lay him out. He was trying to backpedal. And when you backpedal in the NBA, you get your feelings hurt. And that's what happened to Jakob Poeltl on that. But for me, for a guy that size, that weighs 170 pounds, to go at people the way that he does with little regard for his body, I think that's really what separates him. And he's had a couple of scary falls here early in his career that he's been able to come back from. But I think that's what we love about him. It's relentless. I said earlier, he reminds me, if you combine Kyrie Irving's finishing ability with Allen Iverson's relentlessness and Russell Westbrook's athletic ability in one body, that's what Ja Morant is.
And that body weighs less than mine does, which I'm not sure what that says more about him or more about me. Super quickly, is he the MVP of the league right now? If you had to vote this minute, does he get it?
I'm still going to lean toward Embiid, but Ja Morant now has absolutely closed that gap where it's a legit conversation. He's right there. Jokic is going to get votes. Giannis will get votes. I think Luka is playing his way into the top five right now. But I think right now it's Embiid and Morant are the two guys at the top of it. And, you know, listen, I want to say right now, anybody that detracts from Ja Morant by saying that his team was 11-1 while he was out earlier this year, they don't understand really how basketball works. The reason you could go 11-1 without him on the court is because of the tone he has set with that team and the leadership and the confidence he's given that group that they've got him on their team. That's how you go out and continue to win. But what he is doing right now, he's electrifying us every night, and this is the time of the year when people start to make up their minds. He keeps giving us eye candy like he did last night. Ja Morant may very well sweep in and take this at the end, but I still think it's Embiid's to lose.
Now, he's got these two guys yelling at each other all morning long. Now you've jumped in the middle of it. That's my fault. Meantime, the game of the night last night was between the two best teams in the Eastern Conference, or at least the two that were at the top of the standings when the night began, and that's DeMar DeRozan's Bulls and Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo's Miami Heat. And this was a night for Adebayo. Speaking of spectacular plays, look at him getting back on defense. You need to take another look at this as he gets up there with the left hand and breaks up the alley-oop. The Heat would have a 9-point lead going into the half. Third quarter, Miami would really take over. Adebayo throwing it up and Jimmy Butler putting it in on the nice finish. And then on the very next possession, it's Butler again. This time he's going to get stopped in the lane, but he stays with the play, and then he finds Adebayo, who throws it home. He had 15.7 rebounds. Fourth quarter, Heat up by 18. Max Strus finding Caleb Martin, and Caleb Martin puts an exclamation point on a big win. 13-point victory. He take it 112-99. And so Miami now two games ahead of Chicago for first in the East. And while our analytics give the Heat a 99% chance to have the one seed in the East, the Vegas numbers, Caesars, gives the Nets, the Bucks, and the Sixers shorter odds to win the title than the Miami Heat. So that's basically the way it feels like it's gone all year long. The Heat and the Bulls have been up at the top of the standings, and people sort of struggle to take them seriously. So I guess I would ask you, Miami, Philly, whatever Brooklyn is going to become, Milwaukee, who's the team to beat in the Eastern Conference going down the stretch?
Right now, listen, I'm going to go with the ceiling of Philadelphia. I look at two guys that control the game and the most powerful offensive force combination we have in this league right now in Joel Embiid and James Harden. The fact that they can beat you on any platform offensively from deep, mid-range. They can beat you on finishing drives. But then more importantly, they can beat you by controlling the game at the foul line. And we've seen some of it. I've been shocked at how seamless this integration has been because Joel Embiid has never played with a ball-dominant guard that's a high-volume shot taker at the point guard position. And James Harden certainly has never played with a big that was more than a pick-and-dive guy. So for these two guys to look this good so fast, I think that's kind of scary. My question for Philly ultimately is going to be, do they have enough shooting? Because once they start to play some of the better defensive teams in this league that are going to load up in the paint, is there enough there to knock down perimeter shots to take pressure off of those two guys? That's what we have to see. But I love the ceiling of those two players and what they present from a defensive game plan standpoint. Nobody's got the personnel and nobody's got enough scheme to deal with those two guys on the same night.
Yeah, trading away Seth Curry might wind up being a pretty big factor in all that. We will wind if they could use you legs out there knocking down some threes. Outstanding as always. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. So basketball taking the top of the storyline. But this is the story that not only won't go away, but took another interesting twist. We are 1 week away from the franchise tag deadline in the NFL, which is significant because the Packers have a decision to make on their superstar wide receiver, Devontae Adams. And that, of course, should have enormous impact on the future of Aaron Rodgers. And speaking of those two, so this the Packers announced yesterday that they're going to play in London for the first time. They're the last team to get their first game in London in the NFL. And so they recreate sort of the legendary Abbey Road picture. But if you notice, Paul McCartney and John Lennon are not in the picture. There's no Aaron Rodgers and there's no Devontae Adams in the picture of the Packers. So I ask you, Dan Graziano, have we been scooped by the Packers social media team? Do they know something we don't?
I don't think so. Look, they know this. They know that Devontae Adams is a free agent and that Aaron Rodgers, by his own admission, is no sure thing to be on the Packers this year, right? So that's stuff we do know. And I don't know. I've never worked for an NFL team social media department. My guess is you know, you want to put guys on there that you know are going to be on the team. So, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think this means anything.
Okay, far be it for me to mean to read into something, but that's what I do for a living. So, Chris Canty, I'm going to professionally overreact to this and suggest that it is at least a little bit of a big deal with all of this hanging in the air right now, because I think you said it earlier. What difference would it make if you put them on there, right? It's not like they're going to be held to that. No one's going to buy a ticket thinking, oh, you promised me Aaron Rodgers in this tweet back on February 28th, and then you didn't give him to me.
No, that's exactly right. You're taking an uncomfortable situation and continuing to make it awkward. You've already said as an organization that we're going to operate as if Aaron Rodgers is going to come back. We're going to go all in on him. We're going to hire his former quarterbacks coach. We'll do whatever he wants us to do in terms of bringing back Randall Cobb, even backing him with the whole immunized scandal. Everything that Aaron Rodgers has asked him to do the last year and a half, they've went ahead and done. So my whole point is this. What difference does it make putting him on that graphic that you're talking about playing in London? It doesn't make any difference. You've proceeded as if Aaron Rodgers is going to be your quarterback, and you wouldn't let your mind go to anywhere else, according to their general manager. What difference does it make putting him on the graph?
Bart, you disagree.
What, was he supposed to sit there, have me with the discount double check, like, welcome to London, come on?
Yes, that part. That part, Bart Scott. That part.
Devontae Adams behind him. Like,
that part.
Like, you know, like,
that part.
Let's get
to
more important.
He's not going to be there.
So let's put the social media post aside for a moment. Let's get to the crux of this, because at the end of the day, we can joke about it because everyone's getting a little tired of the tick, tick, ticking clock. But the reality is it's the most important thing that will happen in the NFL this offseason. And while I've had a lot of people suggest they think the momentum is moving toward him staying, you don't think so?
I don't think so. I think when, you know, if you give Aaron Rodgers some truth serum, understanding, I understand that Tom Brady's not there anymore, but, you know, winning the Super Bowl is about being in the right place at the right time, and it's about windows. And their window has been open. And you look at what they're going to lose if they bring back Aaron Rodgers, if they bring back Devontae Adams, they won't have the team that they had last year. It may cost them both Smith brothers, you know, could cost them some other players. I just see, like, an opportunity for everybody to get what they need by being able to get as many picks as you can for Aaron Rodgers. At some point, listen, poor Jordan Love, man. The only person I've ever felt worse for than Jordan Love is Josh Rosen, because he never got an opportunity to have an opportunity. And, like, you talk about this kid sitting behind. I think Aaron Rodgers does the kid a solid, goes somewhere else, allows this kid to have an opportunity to be a starter, because if he doesn't get an opportunity to be the starter for the Green Bay Packers, he'll never get an opportunity to be a starter in this league.
Graziano,
you think Aaron Rodgers is going to base
no, he loves
his decision
no, no, not
on
no.
something other than Aaron Rodgers?
No, no.
Are you serious?
No, bro, I'm not saying that.
Have you been paying any attention
to that? No, I'm not saying that. I just think, I think he knows in his heart of hearts he still, you know, has a better opportunity. Maybe if he gets a fresh start. He's seen what Tom Brady did. He's seen what Peyton Manning has done. He knows that that Denver roster is loaded. And I think sometimes when you be at one place for a long time, you just need a fresh start, something to challenge you, some unfamiliar places.
That makes sense.
I would love a solid. I don't think it's factoring into
him.
Does he have a better chance? Fair enough. Does he have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl next year as a Packer or a Bronco? Can't he?
As a Packer. They've won 39 games the last 3 years.
And no
two
playoffs.
Two NFC Championship games.
No playoffs.
And then being in the divisional round and having the number one seed this year. Yeah, things didn't end the way that they thought they did. But you tell me what other place is the guaranteed short
shot. Denver.
Denver with an unproven coach. With a guy.
It's his coach. Yeah. What do you mean?
And what is he proving as a head coach?
He's proven that he can do the offense. The defense is going to be solid regardless.
Okay.
All he needs is A-Ryan to do is come here and get
all right. All I'm simply saying is this. When you look at this Green Bay Packers team, when you look at what they have, the core pieces,
what are they
if you're
have?
Able to retain Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers, and you look at the division that they play in, there absolutely is a path to them being able to compete at
the
championship
level. So then your defense
will
be able to stop you back because you won't have any
pass. And it gets easier because you don't have Tom Brady in the Bucs.
I don't have a lot of time. Reporters don't like to guess, so I'm not going to ask you to guess. But I don't get the sense that you think he's staying either, which a lot of other people seem to be feeling.
I have not thought that he's staying all along. I mean, I acknowledge it's possible, but I still think the underlying factors in terms of what kind of team they can put together around him and his expressed dissatisfaction for a lot of things that go on there point to him leaving. We'll see.
All right, we will see. Speaking of dissatisfaction and quarterbacks that might be leaving, does Kyler Murray want out of Arizona? We need to dive into this. A stunning statement from an agent that has this group fired up today. Plus, will it be March Madness in Dallas? Should Jerry and the boys go on a spending spree? We've got answers directly from the source on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, interesting word yesterday from Cowboys executive VP Stephen Jones talking about the Cowboys' plans ahead of free agency in a few weeks and what we should expect this team to do and maybe not to do. Take a listen.
If I'm looking into a crystal ball right now, I see most of our money that would go toward free agency going to our current players. Now, doesn't mean that won't change, that we don't come across a value on a player that we said, hey, it's just one we got to take. So I don't want to rule it out.
So it's interesting. And, you know, I made the point earlier that I think a lot of times, guys, we view the Cowboys because they are so high profile, because their owner is bombastic and public, as though they are the Yankees of football. But the reality is they don't spend the way the Yankees of George Steinbrenner did a generation ago. The question is, should they be? Is this a team that should be kicking it into win right this minute and the future be damned kind of mode?
Well, see, I don't know, Greeny, if it's all about spending, if it's like using your draft capital and being able to kind of mortgage the future as far as from a draft capital.
Fair enough. Should
standpoint.
They be doing that? Should they be doing whatever is involved in going all in right this minute?
I mean, we talk about, you know, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. You saw what just happened within their, you know, division, the NFC, what happened with the Rams and what they did by getting rid of future draft picks so that they can have the ability to be able to get players that they needed. I think they need so as well. I think, you know, they have to first retain some of their current players, but I think also they should mortgage some of the future to get better players in right now to fit them under the cap and then worry about, you know, the credit card bill later.
Because it feels like this is a team in its window. And with some of the young players they have, namely the quarterback and C.D. Lamb, they'll probably have another window. But this one is closing, or at least it feels that way to me, Canty. Yes or no, right now?
Yeah, I think they need to go all in. But in saying that, I agree with Bart to the extent that they need to make sure that they – utilize their draft capital in a way that allows them to compete at a high level. What I mean by that is focusing on the offensive line, because that's a group that drastically has to improve. Tyron Smith hasn't been able to stay healthy the last 2 years. He's played in a grand total of 13 games, hasn't played all 16 since 2015. Connor Williams is a free agent. Tyler Biadasz is a disappointment. Dalton Schultz is a free agent. Cedric Wilson is a free agent. Michael Gallup is a free agent. That offense, they have to reimagine what that's going to look like. And in the short term, I believe this Cowboys team formula for success is going to change and be led by their defense as opposed to what they have on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, because Micah Parsons might be their best player at this point.
No doubt.
Right? On either side of the ball. So, look, I mean, they're not going to mortgage the future. That's not how they operate. We've been over this. Like, they are not a big spending free agent team in spite of their reputation. They like to wait out the market and look for deals and take a targeted approach. The wide receiver situation, Amari Cooper looks likely to be cut because of his $20 million salary that guarantees on the first day of the league year. But they can address wide receiver. There's going to be people available. That line, they spent 5 years, 4 or 5 years drafting offensive linemen in the first round, and that's why their line was so good for so long. But you're absolutely right. There's erosion there, and they have to address it. But the Cowboys are going to take a draft and develop approach, which they have for quite a while now, again, in spite of their free spending reputation.
But you talk about draft, right? And we're talking about future draft capital. We watched the Rams get rid of a lot of their draft capital. You talk about a lot of, you know, this draft is top heavy when you look at Mel Kiper's draft, moving up for one of these outstanding either center or tackles to be able to solidify that offensive line so that you could protect the franchise and Dak Prescott.
If they have a guy they'll target at the top of the draft for offensive line, they could move up and do it. But what the Rams did was a trade first-round picks for a quarterback.
Yeah.
The Cowboys don't need to do that.
Right. If you think about it, last year they traded back – in the first round and got Micah Parsons.
They know what they're doing.
That, pardon me, could wind up being one of the great moves we've seen any team make in a very long time. Right? Much more football as we go. But there's huge news from another sport on this day as well. And for a change, it might be positive news. After 16 hours of meetings yesterday, Major League Baseball and the Players Association have extended the deadline for a new CBA that would save regular season games from being canceled to 5 p.m. today. And here he is, Robert Stanberry, only the third. We call him Buster. So after essentially no conversation of meaning for months, they meet for 16 hours yesterday. Buster, what changed?
Yeah, Greeny, it felt like a game of chicken. And the last 48 hours, it's almost as if both sides looked at the other and they felt like, oh, my God, they might drive this sport off a cliff. So on Monday, these two sides finally got serious, and in particular it was the owners who finally took a step toward the middle and made some concessions. And look, they needed to be the side to make concessions because they destroyed the players in the last CBA negotiations in 2016. They have the greater financial landscape to offer, and they did in some of their proposals yesterday. If this were a football field, I feel like at this point these talks are at about the 30-yard line. It's not a done deal, but they moved in the right direction.
All right, so that begs the question, what have they resolved? In sort of shorthand here, because the fans can sort of digest it, what have they resolved and what do they still need to figure out?
The players have been looking to get younger players paid more, and in some of the minimum salaries for first and second year players, those have gone up. Two major issues to watch for today. One is a competitive balance tax. The owners move that up. They want to keep it lower, of course, to restrict the spending of big market teams like the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Red Sox. The other issue to watch today, it's the biggest point of leverage, the question of whether or not the postseason is going to be 12 or 14 teams. The players are saying we want it at 12. Players like Jock Peterson were on social media yesterday referring to a 14-team playoff field as like handing out participation trophies. The owners need the 14-team playoff field. They want it. I think in the end they'll get it, but I think they're going to have to pay for it.
All right, that's the kind of stuff that fans care about. Now let's get to stuff that fans really care about. Let's live in a world, an optimistic world, where they get something figured out today or very soon. Then what happens?
Greeny, it's going to be nuts. Because at some point, Major League Baseball, the Player Association, will signal the transaction gun. It'll be gentlemen, start your engines. And we have about 300 players in play between free agency and those available in trade. Guys like Freddie Freeman, you know, the question of whether or not he's going to leave the Atlanta Braves. The Oakland Athletics, this big sale of players they're going to execute. Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, the shortstops, Carlos Correa, Trevor Story, they have to find homes. We're going to find out if Clayton Kershaw will continue his career with the Dodgers. There's so many moves to come once they get this deal done. It's going to be crazy and maybe distract from how ugly these talks have been.
All right, imagine there might be some baseball in the baseball conversation. We'll do this a little later today, again on ESPN Radio. Buster, thanks. Meanwhile, as we continue, the performance of the year in the NBA. Which was the more spectacular Ja Morant play last night? Jay Williams will enter the debate. He'll be in our studio in a moment. Plus, is Big Ben's replacement in this year's draft? We'll ask Mel Kiper that. His next mock is out. You need the details and you'll get them next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up with a wake-up call in Memphis. Ja Morant, a huge night. Pete Pranica, take it away. Bally Sports Southeast, here's the calls.
Morant blows by Primo. Attack!
Oh!
Adams going long. Morant.
I mean, just an unbelievable pair of plays that he makes last night. On the night that he scores 52 points, Morant does, the first ever Memphis Grizzly to score 50 in a game. The great Jay Williams is here from ESPN Radio. Oh, we've gotten into a debate this morning.
Okay.
Which of those two is the more spectacular play by Morant? The dunk on Jakob Poeltl or the miracle shot with 0.4 seconds left in the half?
I would probably go with the miracle shot. Just for the fact that, I mean, look, I know John Morant, super athletic, banging over a seven-footer. It's obviously a high level of difficulty as it relates to degrees, but just, I'll say this, I've never seen a basketball player with the body control that John Morant has to catch the ball out of the air like a wide receiver, to torque his body, to then find the rim behind the damn backboard, to make the shot nothing but net is spectacular.
You've made the day of one Bartholomew Scott. Get in here, Bart.
I would have pulled the oblique trying to do that one.
He has been arguing all morning long with Chris Canty that this is the more difficult play. Go ahead, Bart, give me 10
seconds. We have never seen anybody catch the ball with 0.4 when you're not supposed to be able to get a shot off under 0.7 and be able to make it. It takes more skill to throw that up there. Back in my day, Jay Weezy day, he could have made that dunk.
No, I could not.
I don't know about that. Look, you were, in your day, like a spectacular, smaller point guard and all that kind of stuff. So as you watch what Ja Morant is doing, and he plays his way this week, between the game he had on Saturday night and this one, he plays his way into the thick of the MVP race.
Yes.
Like, how do you describe what he's doing to this league right now?
Well, number one, I think he's slightly ahead, in my opinion, of Joel Embiid and Jokic for the MVP right now. They have the third best record in the entire NBA. They're actually second best record since the All-Star break. And if you're asking me how to define his game, Greeny, it's almost like a Russell Westbrook type athletic ability, but you like wine, right? It's like when you open a bottle of wine, when you first have it, you're like, it just kind of shoots out, right? You know it's really good wine,
right,
but it shoots out.
You got to let it breathe.
He's more of the wine that you let athletic ability in the decanter. It has more of an R&B vibe to it. Whoa. It's smoothed out. There's a Michael Jordan-esque athletic ability to it mixed with the AI. He is 2022 version of Allen Iverson. That's who he is.
I see Derrick Rose, the MVP Derrick Rose, you know, because of the athleticism, but also the ability to shoot the ball. Russell has never been able to shoot the ball like Jaws.
That's the comparison a lot of people are making. And Rose won his MVP in his third season, and this is Ja Morant's third season.
But why I say it's like the R&B version of it because Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook, they had that herky-jerky, out-of-the-can pop bounce, right?
Yeah.
This is more, it's discreet, but it's not.
Yeah.
He's like a Skywalker in a way, like Michael Jordan.
He's spectacular. All right, Bart, go find Chris Canty and yell at
him.
We'll have more on that as we go. I want to ask you about another circumstance, and that is the Nets. Yesterday, here in New York City, the mayor of New York was on CNBC. By now, you're well aware of this, saying that despite the fact that the vaccine mandates are being lifted, that Kyrie Irving will not, at least as things currently stand, be eligible to play home games. Now, we don't know if that will change or not. But I guess I would ask you, with all of the changes that have been made in the Eastern Conference, the huge trades and everything else, does it depend on that? Without Kyrie Irving, can the Nets win the Eastern Conference?
Well, with just him playing road games,
yes,
I still think they have a legit chance to. Obviously, we expect Kevin Durant to come back in MVP-like form.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to. But I just want people to think about this puts so much pressure on Ben Simmons. So thinking about where Ben Simmons came from, to now all of a sudden he's getting ready, but he's having lower back issues. Steve Nash is going through conditioning, but you don't have that gifted third scorer anymore. So it requires Ben Simmons to be ready to go and championship caliber ready to go for the Nets in order for them to do it. But yes, they still have a legit chance.
In case it's not clear or in case it's not fresh in people's minds anymore, in the Eastern Conference Finals last year in a series against Atlanta, or I guess it was the semifinals, excuse me, Ben Simmons attempted a total of 3 shots in 7 games. So there is no reason to think that he becomes an offensive option of any sort for them, right?
I mean, I have different expectations for Ben, considering the situation he came from and how I've heard people talk about it close to the situation.
He took no shots in the final 4 games of that series. Games 4, 5, 6, and 7, he took 0 shots.
I want you to think who the Nets have surrounded him with. Where is Patty Mills from? Australia.
Yeah.
Where does Kyrie Irving have ties to? Australia. There's a lot of the kind of foundation level that they're putting around Ben Simmons and hopings that he can actually become a little bit more aggressive offensively. Obviously, you need to shoot the ball. But right. I'm just saying, layups at the rim, that's not really shooting the ball. That's just being aggressive.
They may add one more player to all of this because a player became available yesterday, and that will be Get Your Eyes Checked, which is brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. This one comes from the struggling Lakers, and this pass DeAndre Jordan threw on Sunday proved to be his last. They released him, and it appears he's going to wind up with the Nets. But how, Jay, what?
Is he going to be at the Nets or the 76ers?
Oh, is it Philly he's going to?
Philadelphia.
Okay, fair enough. My bad there. Either way, the pass.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell this is. I can't call that. Look, I love DeAndre Jordan. I still think he brings a little bit of a pop defensively here and there. But DeAndre Jordan's going to come and give you minutes, mm-hmm. right, here and there. He's not going to be a main stable point of your defense or your offense.
Okay, yeah, it is Philadelphia. He's most likely.
Yeah, he does help Joel Embiid with depth.
Right. I'm sorry. I read that note at 4 o'clock this morning and got it backwards in my mind. But one way or another, they certainly could have used getting their eyes checked on that play. All right, Jay's got to get back on the radio. Thank you, my man. We'll see you a little bit later. In the meantime, we got Mel ready to go. Kenny Pickett is Mel's top quarterback off the board in this year's mock draft, which is available for you right now. Mock Draft 2.0 is up on ESPN Plus, and you can see the top 10 players that are on his group, and it does not include this man, Kenny Pickett, who he is projecting right now to go in a little different spot. 20th overall. Again, he's got them taking the Big Ben's replacement there in Liberty quarterback Malik Willis, who a lot of people love coming out here, may need some time to get ready, but that's a player a lot of teams have their eyes on. With the last pick of the first round, Mel has the Lions taking Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral, one of the first round picks Detroit got in the Rams trade involving Matt Stafford. So there's a lot of things to be done here. And I want to start with Pickett because I never know how much of a deal to make of these things. But we're at the combine here now this week, the great Mel Kiper Jr. And Kenny Pickett, they're going to measure his hand size. And I'm reading reports that suggest there is a belief that he might wind up having the smallest hand size of any quarterback that we've seen in quite some time. What should one make of that? How significant in the evaluation is the size of a quarterback's hand?
Greeny, I talked to my friends in the NFL, and when I brought it up, not one said it was. In fact, they laughed about it. They brought up, you know, Joe Burrow. What was his hand size? Around 9? Look what he's done in the AFC North, playing in Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. Tony Romo didn't have a big hand. Michael Vick. But listen, Ryan Tannehill. The list goes on and on. And some of the guys that had the 10-plus have been bust in the first round of the NFL draft. So, like I said, it was laughed off by GMs, former GMs, personnel directors, former personnel. It was laughed off by everybody I talked to in the NFL, Greeny, that's been there for 40 years or been in a position for 15 years. It didn't matter. Not one said it was a significant issue. He wears gloves on both hands. I talked to Mark Whipple, former quarterback coach and coordinator, who's now in Nebraska, was with Big Ben in Pittsburgh. He said, hey, wear the gloves. Who cares? You know, I mean, he played at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. He had a heck of a career with 50 starts. He's going to go in the top 15. I have him to Washington. I don't think hand size is going to have any bearing on where he goes.
Fair enough, and he is the most experienced quarterback in this draft, and about as experienced as you can be, 49 career collegiate starts. Is he, I saw the rankings there, is he the best quarterback in this draft? In your view, is he the best quarterback who will be drafted in 2022?
Slightly. Malik Willis, to me, is right there with him. One's at 19, one's at 20 on the big board. They'll be out tomorrow. Malik Willis has unbelievable talent. He's not there yet. Kenny Pickett is a guy that I think can be, best case scenario, Greeny, Derek Carr, in that Andy Dalton mold as well. So we're somewhere in between. So if he is Derek Carr, the team that drafts Kenny Pickett, if it is Washington 11, is going to be very happy.
Now, and to be clear, we have some teams that have a lot of picks, and particularly the Giants, for example, who are picking twice in the top 10. And I know a lot of their fans are asking questions, do the Giants go quarterback in this scenario? And we see, again, your top 10 here projecting the Giants to go defense twice at 5 and 7 with Kayvon Thibodeau and Devin Lloyd. Is there any opportunity? Would either of these quarterbacks that you're talking about, Willis and Pickett, are they better prospects than Daniel Jones was when he came out several years ago?
You know, Jones's grade would have been right in line with Pickett's. You know, now the Giants took him a little higher than he was graded, and he's shown pretty well at times. I mean, Daniel Jones has talent. Daniel Jones isn't the issue. It's the offensive line. It's not having Barkley. It's not having healthy receivers. And when they're out there, do they catch the ball? No, they haven't on a consistent basis. He's gotten no support, Greeny. And now you have Mike Kafka's coordinator with Brian Daboll, head coach. If those pieces can stay healthy, if that line can solidify finally, Daniel Jones has a fighting chance to have a consistent season. And he could be the guy moving forward. So I think it's more incumbent upon players around him than it is on Daniel Jones. He improved on ball security. He's done things. He's going to work harder than anybody. He's got talent. He's not a guy that just gets by with one or the other. He can beat your legs. He has the arm. He's got the mindset. Give the guy some help. And I think this is the final year that hopefully it all comes together. This is his year. Everybody knows it. But no, I do not think they're going to take a quarterback in the first round.
Look, the owner of the team himself, John Mara, said that they've done everything possible to screw the kid up. That was the owner saying that, not me. So we'll see which way they decide to go. Again, Mel's Mock Draft 2.0 is available right now on ESPN+. Mel will check in a little later in the day. Thank you. Meanwhile, coming up, speaking of quarterbacks, this guy went number one. Now does he want out of Arizona? The stunning statement from the agent has Bart Scott perplexed. You'll hear it. Plus, Ja was unbelievable last night. Once and for all, which was the best play, the dunk or the buzzer beater? The debate continues. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and it's time for Overreaction Tuesday. I'll say something that I think people are generally saying, and Graziano will tell us if that something is an overreaction. So, if I were to say the Falcons will trade Calvin Ridley this offseason, would that be an overreaction?
It's not an overreaction. It's entirely possible. The Calvin Ridley situation last year obviously got very strange, and he took a lot of time off for what he said is mental health issues. So it's conceivable. He's a guy that needs a change of scenery. Don't want to minimize whatever it is that he's going through by assuming I know what it is. But obviously there's an issue there. The Falcons are rebuilding. He has a big number. It's entirely possible. And, yes, teams are looking out for Calvin Ridley as a potential trade target.
Next up, Jameis Winston. If I said Jameis will be a week one starter somewhere, is that an overreaction?
It's not. I mean, you see him here running on the treadmill. Obviously, this isn't meant to tell teams ahead of free agency, hey, it's looking good, right? He's making good progress from his injury. There are teams out there that are looking at Jameis Winston as a possible solution at quarterback on this free agent market. I do believe he's only 28. He just turned 28. Feels like he's been in the league forever.
I'm with you. I believe that there is a good story waiting for Jameis Winston somewhere. Finally, if I were to say Kyler Murray is done in Arizona, would that be an overreaction?
I still say yes, it's an overreaction because they have the fifth-year option on him for 2023. They can franchise him after that. He wants a new contract. We know this. There's obviously some sort of issue between him and the team. The GM and the coach are scheduled to speak at the combine today, so maybe we get some clarity there. But in the end, I just don't feel like Kyler Murray has enough leverage to force his way out of Arizona if that's what he ends up wanting.
Well, let me underline that. The GM and the coach are going to talk today. That should be the most heavily attended of all of the conversations that we have after what happened yesterday with the agent releasing this statement. Again, something I don't think I've ever seen before. We can put up some of the bullets that came out of this thing. But the agent for Kyler Murray releasing a statement in which he was basically talking directly to the fans of the Arizona Cardinals and saying things like he wants to be your quarterback. He wants to win the Super Bowl. Actions speak louder than words. He needs the organization to commit so he can continue leading the Cardinals. This is extremely unusual
certainly in my experience, and Dan, I assume in yours as well, right?
It
this
is.
Kind of public, especially this early in the process. This was February 28th when this came out, and Bart, you didn't like it.
I didn't like it. I didn't think that it reflected leadership. I don't think this is how the CEO of your franchise is supposed to act. And, you know, he went out and blamed the organization for the losses, saying that they were blaming it on him. He scrubbed it. All this passive-aggressive stuff. Listen, your job as the quarterback is to bring people together. And I think that, you know, his body language, the way that he's – and I've talked about this in the past. Anybody that knows me know that I didn't think that he was a leader. I didn't like his body language, the way he had some of his press conferences. But, you know, the most telling thing to me is when all those allegations came out about how he was selfish, I don't remember a host of teammates coming out in support of him saying that this was dead wrong, that it didn't happen, it isn't true. Mm-hmm. I think that says a lot more about who Kyler Murray really is when the lights and cameras are off than what he's perceived to be in front of the camera.
So, you know, Canty, if I could reframe, because we had a pretty good debate about this, but in the interest of time, I'll sort of try to reframe it to that. Your point is that he's an excellent player. No one is debating that.
Yeah.
But the question, and that they're better off having him than not having him. No one in their right mind is debating that at this moment. The question, however, is, does any of this give you pause? The public way that this thing has played out at all of that, they don't have to extend his contract right now. They could do it after next season. They have a fifth-year option on. They have a million different ways this could go about. Would any of this give you pause, the way this is being handled?
Not even a little bit, Greeny, because I see how Kyler Murray has been the single biggest agent of change in Arizona over the course of the last 3 years. And when I'm looking at how the organization is handling this, the fact that Kyler feels this desperate to release a statement this early on leads me to believe that the discourse that the agent had with the organization, the back and forth when it came to exchanging initial proposals, didn't go well at all. And so my thing is, the organization has a responsibility not to make this an adversarial relationship. Even though they might not be able to acquiesce to all the things that Kyler wants right now, this particular offseason, I at least think you have to have the conversation to the point where he feels like he's being heard in terms of the level of urgency that he has in addressing his contract. That's the biggest thing, because the last thing you can do as Arizona is put Kyler Murray in a position where he feels like he's somehow being marginalized in terms of what he brings, his value to the team.
I get it, and that's fair. And Bart, you touched on it, albeit briefly. He, it was just like 2 weeks ago that he scrubbed the Cardinals off of his own social media, took any reference to them off, and there has been very little response from the team. That's why I said, Dan, to go back to the beginning of this conversation, I'm very interested to hear what the coach and the general manager have to say today at the combine.
Yeah, I am too. Look, I would, in general, teams in this situation will go high road, and they'll say, we want him back. It's a process. We're negotiating. You know, if the right deal comes, we'll do it. So, I am interested to hear that. The owner had some public comments late last week that were supportive, right, of the idea of keeping Kyler Murray. So, in the end, I don't think we're at a breaking point with Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, but it's clear something needs to be smoothed over at the very least.
Well, it only could feel like a breaking point because the agent sort of hinted that it was, right? He said, if they don't commit to my guy, I'm changing up the words here, then he can't lead this team.
I mean, we talked about Dak Prescott and, you know, his journey to get his money. He got his money, right? We talk about Lamar Jackson right now in the middle of, you know, negotiations. Mm-hmm. He's the MVP, former MVP of this league, right? Kyler Murray hasn't earned the right to get an extension. Now, listen, you're working with somebody willing to pay you, but listen, it's a process to this, right? And listen, he just has to wait his turn. And I understand he wants to accelerate the process, but really he hasn't done, this team hasn't won. If he wants to get his money, go win a Super Bowl. Go win some playoff games. Go win the MVP. And then you'll put the pressure and the leverage on your side and not on the organization.
Can't he put a final word
on? Well, what I'll say is this. In most situations when it comes to play, I would agree with you, Bart. You can't dictate to the organization when you have multiple years left on your contract. But the quarterback position is different, especially if you're talking about a guy that's top 10 to 12 at that position and a guy that you would consider in the top five in his conference at quarterback. And that's exactly where Kyler Murray is.
And so while
I will say to you that you're right when it comes to the organization having more leverage over the player, we've also seen players, when they don't have their contractual demands met, they hold in rather than hold out because we know how the CBA goes. But that could be a situation that you have to watch. We saw Jamal Adams do it with the Seattle Seahawks this past year in training camp. Jalen Ramsey, his first year of training camp with the Rams. It's not outside the realm of possibility.
We very seldom see it with quarterbacks.
Very seldom.
That would really, if he decides
to say a lot about him.
That would really be something if he decides to go that way. All right, let me leave it there for the moment. I want to remind you, we have a spectacular Saturday coming your way. Look at this lineup. Blackhawks Flyers get it started, 3 Eastern on ABC. Then you got Carolina Duke on ESPN. Then we'll be in L.A. for Steph and Clay and the Warriors taking on LeBron. That's on ABC primetime Saturday night. We're going to do countdown from on the court. And the main card at UFC 272 in Vegas starts at 10 Eastern on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. So it should be sensational this Saturday on the Family of Networks. Speaking of sensational, First Take is coming up top of the hour. Is that man, John Morant, now the MVP of the league? We'll answer that question and more here on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, final Super Tuesday regular season lineup on ESPN tonight. In the SEC 7 Eastern, we got Kentucky Ole Miss, followed by Purdue and Wisconsin, and cap it off with Arizona USC. Great night of hoops here on ESPN. All right, before we go, we have to settle this once and for all. So Ja Morant, and a 52-point performance last night, had two of the most spectacular plays of the season. The first one, the slam in the face of Jakob Poeltl. Jakob Poeltl was, I think, just trying to get out of the way, and Ja Morant puts him on a poster. So that is one spectacular play. Then, with 0.4 seconds left in the first half, Steven Adams just heaves it down there, and oh, my goodness, I've never seen that. In all the years I've been watching the sport, I have never seen that. And that is Ja Morant making the catch, the spin in midair, and throwing it up and good. We've had a debate all morning long. Which was the more spectacular play from Ja Morant? And we're going to finally put our names to the vote. All right, let's do it. Get the pick bars up there on the screen. And who's going to make our first selection? Chrissy, if we can, get everybody up there and see what everybody's picks are going to be. Graziano, which was the more spectacular play?
I'm going with the corner buzzer beater. I think there's more he had to do, right? Like, he had to catch the ball. He had to stay in bounds. With 0.4 left, that's all you have time to do is exactly what he did. You never see it work.
Canty.
I'm disappointed in Graziano's answer, but I will say this. I think it's the dunk. And the only thing that I want to point to is, if you look at Jakob Poeltl later on in that game in the fourth quarter, he moved all the way out the way and let Ja Morant take it to the rim. He did not want to revisit that and get posterized.
1-1. Bart.
He knows he's vertically limited. That's why he got out the way. Listen, we've never seen that before. Whenever you can say something in this game for all these special athletes that you've never seen it before, that's the winner.
First I went Scott, with the dunk dad. Just so it would be even at 2-2, because that's what it deserves to be. First Take starts now.